Welcome to All Together Now. This is Eleanor LeCain. Most of us use cell phones every day, but do we know if using cell phones is safe? Has anyone ever scientifically shown what happens to the human body when exposed to the waves emitted by cell phones? And if cell phones are dangerous, what can we do to protect ourselves? Some people believe cell phones are causing damage to our bodies, especially to our brains. One of those concerned about the health effects of cell phones is here with us today, Kevin Motis. I met Kevin recently in California, where he was a candidate for Congress in the 33rd District around Los Angeles. During a candidate's debate, he made an impassioned plea to pay attention to the potential health dangers of cell phones. Kevin Motis was a social worker in schools for 14 years at the Los Angeles Unified School District, and before that was a medical hospice social worker for 4 years. He's been an ADHD and learning disabilities coach in private practice for the past 10 years, working with children and adults with ADHD and other learning differences. He earned a master's in social welfare from the University of California at Los Angeles, and a BA in Business and Economics from Lafayette College with a minor in Government and Law. Kevin Motis, welcome to All Together Now.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Eleanor.
It's a great pleasure. I was very moved when I was attending that candidates debate and heard you speak about the potential dangers in cell phones. Can you tell us here and explain to our listeners, you know, why are you concerned about the widespread use of cell phones?
Yeah, I am very concerned, and I think it's an issue that's not being talked about enough, and that's why I ran for office, to raise the issue, to raise the dialogue, and to bring it out of hiding, because there's been a lot of hiding of health effects and a lack of talking about it. What's interesting, at those debates, the forum I was at, there was about 200 people in the audience. About 12 people came up to me after the forum, and they either said they were electro-hypersensitive, that is, they were having neurological problems when they use wireless devices, or they knew somebody who used a lot of wireless and developed a brain tumor, and unfortunately many of them died. And there's a woman who's doing a documentary on the 33rd race, because it's a very interesting race. She came up to me and she asked me to do an interview, and she said, I'm particularly interested in doing an interview with you because my aunt just died of a brain tumor and she used a cell phone quite a bit. So people really are getting sick from this technology, and people don't like me talking about individual examples, but I think it's important and it's valid, because without our government doing enough research in the area, especially compared to our heavy use, we are the experiment. We are the scientific experiment on what happens when you expose people long-term and intensely to radio frequency microwave energy that's emitted by all wireless devices and all wireless infrastructure. That includes Wi-Fi routers, that includes iPads, that includes anything that's wireless, cell towers, and of course cell phones that are used up close and have been studied the most.
Yeah, so that's a question for me is, you know, how do we know there's a link between the use of the wireless with the cell phones and you're saying with our routers even? How do we know that there's a link between the wireless and say brain tumors, for example?
Yeah, let's start talking about that. Just for some examples that people can relate to in your listening audience, NFL quarterback Jim Kelly is dying from a tumor on his jaw right now. It's gone from his jaw into his brain. This is a very sweet man, obviously very healthy as a former NFL quarterback. He has a foundation for children. And when you have a tumor that's located on your jaw, which is a very unusual place to have it, but it's not unusual when you understand that cell phones are microwave transmitters, and if you hold them close up to your body, you are microwaving your body, whether it's up to your brain, or if you put it in your bra, into your bra, and this is the reality. The other thing is LeBron James had a tumor removed from his jaw in 2009. Now, most people don't know about this, but if you Google it, it's there. It's been kept out of the mainstream media. But most people would say LeBron James is probably our healthiest American. That is, based on his athletic ability, he's young, he's healthy, he's strong. And if he can get a tumor in his jaw, imagine what that means for your children that are using cell phones intensely. Now, he could have changed the game in terms of not just terms of basketball, but in terms of life, if he had come out about his tumor and he had talked about it and talked about possible causes, because it's a very unusual place to have a tumor. I was talking to a doctor, and he said, you know, it was very unusual to have brain tumors. Brain tumors used to be extremely rare. If you saw one in your career, that was a lot. I work with three people who have brain tumors, and they're only in their 30s. I have another woman who carried her phone in her bra, and she had her breast removed. I have another woman who I worked with who carried the phone near her colon, and she got colon cancer. And the doctor even said, this is a very unusual place to get colon cancer, to where she got it, but that's exactly where she carried her phone. So we have to look at these examples, but let's get to the science, because I know that's what you want to talk about. The World Health Organization has classified the microwaves used by wireless devices and wireless infrastructure as a class 2B carcinogen. They looked at studies from around the world in 2011, and they said it's a class 2B carcinogen. What does that mean? That means you can no longer say this technology is safe. And they reviewed studies from across the world, from all different types. That was their job, and they did it thoroughly, and people should be very, very concerned about that. Belgium has banned cell phones from children based on the health effects and the studies that are going on in Europe. People should be concerned, because in this country, we're not protecting our children at all. Instead of minimizing our exposure like Belgium is trying to do, especially for children, we are maximizing our children's exposure.
Okay, Let's talk about this. The World Health Organization, you know, when did it do that study that classified wireless as a class 2B carcinogen?
Yeah, in 2011. And what's interesting is Dr. Anthony Miller, who was part of that group, has since come out and said we should increase the classification to a 2A carcinogen, which is a more serious carcinogen based on studies, actually many of them that are focused on adolescents and children. So for this reason, we should be very, very concerned. The Italian Supreme Court looked at the studies that were out there, and they ruled that cell phones can cause cancer. Now, what happened was they looked at all the research, and people need to understand, no one's going to say there aren't studies out there that show health effects. What they do is they use a weighted approach. That is, they look at all of the studies and then use an averaging to decide if it's a concern or not. But you have to be very careful in looking at the research, because with every study that is funded by a non-wireless industry source and comes up with health effects, the wireless industry funds their own study that looks at the questions or kind of designs around the problem. What the Italian Supreme Court did is they looked at the source of funding. They looked at the quality of the research. And when they did that, they were able to easily rule that cell phones can cause cancer. And when the Italian Supreme Court, you know, they looked carefully at the research. It wasn't just a quick look at it.
Right. And I was struck in looking into this myself by the article by Christopher Ketchum, you know, entitled Warning, Your Cell Phone May Be Hazardous to Your Health. And in the Ketchum article, he talks about how if you look at the source of the funding, that, you know, the research is showing, you know, don't have a lot to be worried about. But if you remove from that analysis the studies that are funded by the wireless companies themselves, that suddenly the weight of the research that's showing concern versus no concern is much, much higher.
And then the other argument is, from a public health point of view, if you have any studies that show serious health effects, and people need to understand, they're showing an increased risk of cancer, an increased risk of cardiac problems, an increased risk of immune system problems, and an increased risk of neurological problems that they classify as electrohypersensitivity. If you have studies that are showing serious concerns about this, you should favor the studies that are showing concerns from a public health point of view and try to protect your population. The American Academy of Pediatrics, which represents 60,000 pediatricians across the country, has asked and written letters to the FCC saying, we need standards that protect children when it comes to wireless devices and radio frequency radiation exposure. People need to understand the FCC guidelines that are over these exposures are just guidelines. They are not safety standards. They are set by the FCC. no one in the FCC is qualified to set safety standards. These FCC guidelines only protect people against acute burning. They were only designed for short-term exposures, that is 30 minutes. They just take those and repeat them over and over again. When they were designed, they had no idea there was going to be Wi-Fi and other sources and Wi-Fi routers, other sources of continuous exposure. They need to understand that children are explicitly excluded. So are pregnant women. So are the elderly. The other thing you need to take into account, this was designed for 220-pound males, not children that are now going to be exposed in schools. I'm a school social worker. I was a school social worker, and my big concern is putting wireless and our transformation into wireless classrooms. People need to understand that in the next year and a half, all classrooms will be transformed from regular classrooms into wireless classrooms. That means they're going to get rid of textbooks, and they're going to bring in iPads and wireless routers. This is the absolutely worst combination. High intensity, high density microwave radiation and small absorbent children and pregnant teachers, both who are not covered under these FCC guidelines. Now, if we wanted real safety standards, we would have to do enough studies to develop safety standards. If we wanted real safety standards, it wouldn't be the FCC who did it. It would be the EPA or the FDA. So the FCC is playing a really dangerous shell game with our health, and I believe, and our lives, by saying, well, we're using these FCC guidelines as safety guidelines, even though they're not safety guidelines. And when you challenge any institution regarding the health effects of wireless, they will say the same thing. We are under or within the FCC guidelines. But people need to understand that means nothing, because these FCC guidelines only protect you against acute burning.
Very interesting. So acute burning is not the only concern. You mentioned a couple of things, like what should we be worried about here? If the evidence that you've seen in the scientific research, it's saying what, an increase in cancer, an increase in autoimmune disease? What should we be worried about with the wireless?
Yeah, people should really be on the lookout, and unfortunately, we're going to leave it up to our children to show us the health effects, because the problem with these school classrooms and the wireless in the classrooms is this is going to be a Wi-Fi that's much more dense than what's used in your home. At home, it's designed for maybe 3 to 7 people on at once. The way they're justifying in LAUSD is that one time a year they're going to do testing where everybody's on at once, and we're going to send all that data to Sacramento, and that's how they're justifying $1.3 billion worth of spending on wireless infrastructure. And the problem with that is their Wi-Fi has to be designed to keep the whole student body on at once. That's 700 to 1,000 students at once. And when you need to keep 700 to 1,000 students online at once, you have to use a very dense industrial strength, as they call it, industrial strength Wi-Fi that's been custom made and, of course, has never been tested for health effects, because no one is testing for health effects. And in LAUSD, nobody's monitoring health effects, and no one's giving any education to the teachers how they can minimize their exposure. I think this is unacceptable, especially because the FCC guidelines don't cover children, and there are many thousands of studies showing health effects.
So you're saying there are thousands of studies showing there's health effects. You know, what specifically are the health effects of using the radiation?
Okay, so good question, Eleanor. Let me just refer to it so your audience can look it up. There's a document that was put out by the EPA in 1992. it's document EPA 6009-91016F. Now, what this does, this was a 500-page report looking at the effects of electromagnetic fields, and that's what the wireless devices put off. And they showed exactly what we're seeing. This 500-page report showed that there are increased risk of cancer, reproductive effects, nervous system problems, immune system effects, neurological problems. I think I said that. And people can look it up themselves. When this study came out, it caused quite an uproar. And it came out because at the time, executives who were using cell phones, these cell phones had to actually go to satellites. There weren't cell towers in the area. So they had to put off a tremendous amount of microwave energy. These cell phones were giving executives tumors, and they were dying, and there was a lot of concern about it. That prompted this study. After this study came out that showed that electromagnetic fields can cause health effects, It caused a great disturbance, and unfortunately, the EPA department that was looking into this was defunded, and the research was diverted to the wireless industry themselves. So the wireless industry then spent $28 million doing research on health effects associated with wireless. But what was interesting was they came up with absolutely no findings. And they were actually led by a man named George Carlo. And when he went back to them for more money, even though he didn't come up with any results, they said no to him. And then he came out with a book revealing what he found in the studies. And his book is called Cell Phones, Invisible Hazards in the Wireless Age. So I encourage people to look up this because he talks about what he found in the studies because as a group, they weren't going to release anything about health effects. Unfortunately, my understanding is what they did was they put out all kinds of funding grants, and people answered the funding grants. They were able to locate where the research was being done at the time, and then they went about discrediting the people doing it. And as is going on right now, UCLA, there isn't much studies being funded, but UCLA had a study funded and came out last year in 2012, August 2012.
Well, before we get to UCLA, let's talk a little bit more about the EPA study. That was, what year, 1992? When was it?
Yeah, 1992.
Okay.
And then after that, the wireless industry started doing their own research.
Okay, so, you know, we have seen this in a number of fields where the government used to be doing the research and then it became, you know, corporate funded, you know, the government might fund it, but it's done by the corporations, or the corporations fund it and do it, and the government doesn't do it so much anymore. But for those who haven't had the time to read the EPA report or the book by George Carlo, who was involved, what did Mr. Carlo say in his book about the invisible hazards in wireless? Did he say that the research he did was showing more danger to health than what was being released by the wireless companies?
Exactly. And there's a book that just came out last month, and it's more current. It's called Overpowered, and it's done by Dr. Martin Blank. He was part of that EPA group, that original EPA group that was doing the research. This just came out a month or two ago, talking about the research out there and warning people that this is of serious concern and we need to act to minimize our population's exposure. That just came out last month. You can find it on Amazon very easily.
And what's it called?
It's called Overpowered by Dr. Martin Blank. He is a scientist from Columbia University with impeccable credentials, and people need to realize the science is very serious and real. Just because you haven't heard about it and it wasn't advertised to you on wireless commercials doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And this is kind of the approach that's gone on. Our politicians are not talking about this issue. They're trying to hide it, and they're hoping by avoiding it, it'll just go away and people won't notice that the people around them are getting sick and sometimes dying. I mean, people need to understand Vice President Biden's own son, Beau Biden, who's only 44 years old, had a tumor behind his ear, the most common place to have a tumor from using your cell phone. Instead of coming out and talking about his tumor and using it as a vehicle to warn people and to take action in terms of public policy, he tried to hide the fact that he went to MD Anderson Center, tried to not talk about why he had a scar over his ear 6 inches long. And this has been the approach of our government, try to hide health effects and hope for the best. But it had serious repercussions because his father, Vice President Biden, and President Obama are spending billions of dollars expanding wireless into all kinds of environments that expose our most vulnerable populations to this radio frequency radiation. That is expanding it into hospitals where we have our vulnerable elderly, largely expanding it into our schools where we have our vulnerable children, expanding it into all our retail locations. When people go into restaurants and it says free Wi-Fi, you need to understand that means free microwaving of your body, because that's what it is. That's a fact. And how much microwaving is healthy, you have to decide. But for me, I don't want to be microwaved at all. Dr. Magna Havas, who's an environmental scientist out of Canada, when she looked at Wi-Fi in the schools, what she estimated that was 1 week of exposure to Wi-Fi is the equivalent of a minute and a half in the microwave oven. I don't know how many of you would like to sit in the microwave oven for a minute and a half, but that's what she was equivalating. So we need to look closer at this issue, and we need to take it seriously. And the challenge is, it's invisible. You can't see it. You can't feel it. You can't hear it. You can't smell it. And so people don't think it's an issue. Unlike fracking, where the water catches on fire and people can say, hey, that's a bad thing. I wish these microwaves would catch on fire so that people could wake up to the health effects and demand that our government do something to protect them.
Well, you know, I can totally relate there. I had a tumor myself in my right ear, and I'm right-handed, so I thought, well, that's right where I have the cell phone a lot. And I ended up with 7 hours of surgery, and I have a 6-inch scar that goes from my right ear right across my throat. They literally slit your throat in order to, you know, like peel your skin back and remove the tumor. It's very sensitive and very dangerous surgery. If they do it wrong, a little misstep, you can have facial paralysis for the rest of your life. You lose the the control of your muscles in your face. And I have met people where the surgery did not go so well, and they have facial paralysis. So fortunately, my tumor was benign. But I asked my surgeon, this is a great surgeon in Boston where they have great medical abilities, and I asked him if he thought the tumor I had in my right ear was connected to, actually the tumor was in my parotid gland behind my right ear. I asked the surgeon if he thought my tumor was connected at all to cell phone use, and he said, you know, at that time he saw no evidence linking the cell phones to the tumor, but, you know, it might be possible, but that he hadn't seen any scientific evidence showing that. Now, that was a few years back, but it sounds like there's been more research since then that's come out to show that there is a connection.
Absolutely. If your audience looks up Dr. Hardell from Sweden, and Sweden is ahead of us because they adopted wireless years and years before us. So they're also ahead of us in terms of health effects. But instead of taking their warning seriously, we've ignored it. In Sweden, you can be on disability for having electrohypersensitivity. And they've recognized it, and they've also educated their doctors about it. Now, doctors interpret research that's given to them. And you need to understand that they're interpreting research that is largely being done by the wireless industry themselves and being promoted by the wireless industry. So that's the bias. And when the World Health Organization classified wireless as a class 2B carcinogen, in their press release, they referred to a study that showed for heavy users who use wireless for 10 years, there's an increased risk of 40%. But what you need to understand is, and this is what happens with the research, how they play with the definitions to minimize the health effects, they define heavy user as half an hour a day. Now, I don't know anybody who only uses wireless half an hour a day, but when you call a half an hour a day user a heavy user, the real heavy users, like people who use 3 to 5 hours a day, their effect is being minimized. And if you really looked, and if any study really looked at real heavy users between 3 and 6 hours a day, you would probably see an increased risk of cancer more in the area of 300 to 400%. Now, we should be very concerned because our children in these wireless classrooms who are going to be using wireless and exposed to wireless 6 hours a day will absolutely be in this heavy user group, the real heavy user group. And largely, we're not studying this group, even though more and more of us, as we're getting wireless in more and more environments, and our body's not having a chance to rest and recover, our cells in particular, are going to be more vulnerable to cancerous health effects.
So you're saying this study showed if you use a cell phone, heavy use being half an hour a day for 10 years, you had a 40% increase in your chance of cancer? Is that what they're saying?
Exactly. And an important point that someone made to me is these studies only look at one source. Now, what if you're in an environment with multiple sources? The problem with wireless classrooms is every one of those iPads is a wireless transmitter. So if you have 20 to 40 iPads in a classroom, you have 20 to 40 sources. You have they're putting 2 or 3 wireless routers above the children, and each classroom has 20 to 40. They're getting wireless from the classrooms around them. They're basically swimming in a soup of radio frequency radiation, And so now we're not talking about, I imagine you're not talking about 10 years for tumor growth. I'm imagining that it'll be shortened down to 3 or 5 years because now you have multiple sources and long-term continuous exposure. So I'm very concerned that our schools are really going to become the killing fields of the future. I know at LAUSD we had 6 teachers die at Johnny Cochran Middle School, which is kind of ironic because Johnny Cochran died from his cell phone use, and you can talk to his doctor, Dr. Black, about it. But at that school they had 6 teachers die, 4 of cardiac problems and 2 of rare cancers. But cardiac problems along with cancers are associated with this. At Verdugo Hills, we had 6 teachers develop cancer after they installed the new Wi-Fi in 1 year. This is not normal, but it is normal if you understand health effects and what happens when you radio frequency radiate people over time.
So are you saying, also, in addition to the cancer and autoimmune and neurological problems, that the electromagnetic field can also affect our hearts?
Yes, because we have our own electrical system, you know, and that's our neurological system that runs our heart and our brain and things like that. And some people report confusion, headaches, nausea, difficulty sleeping and things like that. But I had a fellow I was working with at the schools, a young guy, and he was hospitalized for heart problems. And they had him in there for like 2 weeks. And they said they worked me up for everything. They couldn't find anything wrong. And so I asked him, well, what's your wireless use like? Well, he was going for his PhD. So he had his wireless laptop. He had his wireless cell phone. He sat next to his wireless router at home. He was continuously being exposed to wireless radiation. I said to him, next time you go into the doctor, why don't you turn on one of your wireless devices and see what happens in terms of the instruments measuring your heart problems. See if you are actually electrosensitive, because some people report heart arrhythmias and cardiac problems. I do know that at my school, which was a new school and had new wireless already installed, I hospitalized one of my janitors. She was carrying a cell phone on one hip, a walkie-talkie on the other hip, and she was standing under a wireless router, and she was having pain down her arm, and she had all of the symptoms of a heart problem, and she's only 50. She said, what's going on with me, Kevin? I said, I think you're having a heart attack. We have to hospitalize you. But this is the kind of thing we can expect. In Canada, Canadian schools are saying that they're keeping heart fibrillators in their schools because some of the children are reporting heart arrhythmias, and they don't want kids to have heart attacks and die.
Well, it's very scary stuff, and I appreciate you explaining it to us. We need to pause now for a break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about the dangers of radiation with your cell phone and your wireless and what you can do to protect yourself. This is Eleanor LeCain speaking with my guest, Kevin Modis, discussing the dangers of wireless radiation.
Something to talk about, babe.
Welcome back to All Together Now. This is Eleanor LeCain speaking with my guest, Kevin Modis, discussing the dangers of wireless radiation. Kevin, before the break, you were laying out a very grim assessment of the dangers of wireless radiation from our cell phones and our wireless routers and so forth. Can you recommend to our listeners where they could learn more? Is there one study you particularly recommend, or is it the book that you mentioned, or what's the one thing you would most recommend that our listeners read to learn more?
Okay, it's a great idea. And Eleanor, before I go on, I want to commend you for coming out and talking about the tumor you had. We need more of this. Unfortunately, when people get sick in the U.S., we don't talk about our sickness, and because of that, people aren't coming together and realizing the pattern here. But so many people are getting sick right now. You know, I mentioned some very famous people, but there's a lot of very unfamous people who are really suffering, and that's why I ran for office, to try to bring this issue to light. I mean, Mark Ruffalo, the actor, had a brain tumor, almost died, a huge non-malignant one. Sheryl Crow, who was able to say, this is due to my cell phone, because she knows about cancer research. So people need to understand this is a very real issue, and while your neurologist didn't say anything about it, Dr. Charlie Teo out of Australia, one of the leading neurosurgeons in Australia, he has come out very strongly in saying, this is a real problem and we need to do something about it. If people want to email me, I can send the videos, or if you look online, Dr. Charlie Teo, I have a feeling his videos will come up, I can email them very easily, and he has really survivors of these tumors, most of them very young, talking about their wireless use and the tumors that they developed.
And that's Dr. Charlie Teo. Is it T-A-Y-O?
No, it's T-E-O.
T-E-O.
And my email is kevinmottus, M-O-T-T-U-S, 2014, at gmail.com. So let me give you some resources. I really trust, and my number one resource would be out of UC Berkeley School of Public Health. Joel Moskowitz has done a great job tracking the research for almost 20 years. His website is saferemr.com, S-A-F-E-R-E-M-R.com. So I think that's the number one resource people should look at, because he's tracking research worldwide and has really been on top of it. And he's also very careful to vet the research to make sure it's legitimate and scientifically reliable. The other one is bioinitiative.org. They came out with a report looking at 1,800 studies that show health effects associated with different forms of wireless exposure and the microwaves associated with it. And then the Environmental Health Trust, they've been working on the issue of educating people about wireless health effects for a long, long time. Citizens for Safe Technology looks at smart meters particularly, and the microwave radiation they emit, citizensforsafetechnology.org. California Brain Tumor Association, CABTA.org, looks at cell phones, particularly in the brain tumors they can cause. And safeschool.ca, just safeschool.ca, they look at the issue of wireless in the schools. So what you'll see is I'm working with a network of nonprofit groups that are looking at different aspects of radio frequency radiation, but they're all in common that they're looking at health effects associated with this radio frequency radiation, associated with wireless. And I encourage people to go to their sites, support what they're doing, help us get the word out, because on the other side is the wireless industry that literally has unlimited resources. And with the point about LeBron James and people not knowing about him, they have tremendous resources to hide health effects and control the dialogue and debate. How do they do that? When they go to a media outlet, they'll say, if you run that story, we're going to pull our advertising. And this is millions and millions of dollars of advertising. I began talking about UCLA's research. UCLA did a study that was a repeat of a study from Europe. And this study showed that women, pregnant women who use cell phones, had children with more behavioral problems. Now, I talked to the woman doing this study, and she reported what other people report. Once she did a study showing effects, her money dried up, and she wasn't able to do, they usually do one study after another to build on it, and that's how research works. She said her research money dried up. Well, what's interesting is across the campus, the wireless companies have given UCLA massive contracts to develop wireless technology used in smart meters. So on one side of the campus, you're showing health effects for pregnant women. On the other side, you're developing wireless technology for smart meters that's going to be exposing pregnant women in their homes to radio frequency radiation. I think this is important because we need to hold our universities responsible for not looking out for the public's health, especially UCLA, which is a public university.
Well, you know, yes to the universities being honest in the research they're doing, but also the obvious question for everybody is, where is the government in all this? Why isn't the government protecting us? And how do you explain the government's lack of action on these dangers that are showing up in so many of these studies?
Yeah, Eleanor, I love your questions. I really appreciate you having me on the show, and this is such an important question. People need to understand that the FCC regulates this technology and that the FCC commission is composed of almost all wireless executives. The new FCC chairman is the former main lobbyist and former CEO of the Wireless Trade Organization. So obviously they're focused on promoting and expanding the technology, and they have done that, and they're not interested in looking at health effects, which might compromise the expansion of the industry. We should be very concerned about this because overall, I believe our government is selling off the control of these agencies that are responsible for protecting our health and the environment. People from the who are concerned about food GMOs say the same thing is happening with the FDA, that people from Monsanto are high up in the FDA and that they are regulating their own industry. So this goes way beyond a conflict of interest. I believe this represents legalized corruption. But in the end, what's happening is their interests are being looked out for, and the health and well-being of our public citizens is not being looked out for. My understanding is that the Tom Wheeler delivered an almost $1 million campaign contribution to President Obama shortly before he was nominated to be the new FCC chairman. People should be very concerned because he was part of the group that helped snub the 1992 studies and reroute them to the wireless industry. He was part of that group, and now he's being brought back because other agencies are demanding that the FCC look at health effects. The General Accounting Office said your standards are no longer adequate. The way you test cell phones, by the way, the way they test cell phones for microwave radiation is not the cell phone against the person's head, but held perpendicular to the head. Now, when you move that transmitter 3 or 4 inches away from the head, it changes the health effects and the exposure to microwave radiation quite a bit. But that's how they test it. They said this is inadequate and this needs to change. That was the General Accounting Office trying to get the FCC to do their job, but it's really difficult when it's really wireless industry people you're talking to.
So
the Department of the Interior, one more thing, the Department of the Interior said we need to look at these standards, which were developed in 1996. They're out of date, and we believe that the health and well-being of our wildlife is being compromised, that this is killing animals. Now, if it's doing that, what's it doing to our people? So people need to understand this is a real issue. Real agencies are concerned about it. Real legitimate organizations doing studies are very concerned about it, and our citizens should be concerned about it and hold our public officials responsible for protecting us.
Yeah, agreed on that point. And I'm very familiar with the Food and Drug Administration, which is supposed to be making sure our food is safe. And I know that the Monsanto executive you referred to is Michael Taylor, who used to work in Monsanto as an executive, and then he went into the Food and Drug Administration as a very senior level. And in fact, he's in charge of food safety. And it's very scary to me that we have someone from Monsanto Corporation now inside the government, you know, not just as a lobbyist, but as a policy maker in charge of food safety. But specifically, how does that work in the FCC when you say it's made up of wireless executives? Like, is there a group within the FCC that monitors cell phones that's executive, or is it the group that runs the FCC, or where is the influence of the wireless executives in the FCC?
I'm talking about the FCC commissioners that are in charge of the direction of the FCC. And, you know, people need to understand that Tom Wheeler, who was just brought in as the FCC chairman, is also the person who is challenging net neutrality. And people said, oh, but he said he wouldn't do this during his nomination hearing. He said he wouldn't do this. I said he's a lobbyist. Please, people, wake up. He's a lobbyist. He's paid to say one thing and do another. This is the same guy challenging net neutrality.
Wow, that's kind of scary. So, you know, and I live in Washington, D.C., so I see very frequently the influence of corporations on our government. And it has moved from, you know, effective lobbyists to giving money to the members of Congress and the president. Now it's gotten to the point where the senior corporate executives are actually in the government making these decisions. So it's a very scary place. But given all that, what can we the people do? What can citizens do to protect ourselves? How can we get our government to be more active to protect us? And if not, what can we do to protect ourselves?
Okay. Very good question, Eleanor. Listen, do anything you can to impact this issue, because this is not my issue. This is everyone's issue because everyone's being exposed, either directly or secondhand or by cell towers. This is a whole society issue. Well, a couple things. First of all, those organizations I mentioned, look up at their stuff. Support what they're doing. These people are working on shoestrings day and night to try to look out for your behalf. Financially support them. Physically support them in any way. If you have background in marketing and law or whatever, give them your assistance. They definitely need your assistance. The other thing is we just went through an election where there was an 18% turnout. And in the state, there was a 13% turnout. Across the nation, I understand it was a 13% turnout. This is disgusting.
You're talking about the recent election,
the recent primary
in California.
Yes, but the primaries that went on, or that were happening all over the country. This is really despicable, and the problem with this is people are just not, they've given up, and people just are not being involved. But you need to understand that when only 18% of people are voting, that's the minority ruling. If you want to know why you have such extreme policies that don't look out for the majority of people, that's because only the minority of people are participating. You need to understand, if you don't participate, the corporations are participating. They are giving the information. They are expressing what they want looked out for in their interest, and they are financially supporting those in office, and they're being represented. We have a representative government, but if you're not going to be involved, it's not going to represent you, and you cannot leave it to someone else. You must wake up and get involved if you want our society to be something you can be proud of. If you want our society to be safe and healthy, you must get involved. This is not acceptable, 18%. We had great candidates, and Marianne Williamson was one of those great candidates, but there were a lot of great candidates running. But the same people voted for the same people who had been there before, and so nothing changes. This can't go on. People need to step up.
I agree. It's very important for people to get involved, and I know a lot of people say, well, what difference does it make if I get involved? You're already telling me how powerful the corporations are and all the influence they have, but part of why the corporations have so much influence is because we left the door open for them to just walk in and do their business. When you have 82% of the people not even showing up for an election, it makes it a lot easier to control.
Absolutely. Our power is in our vote, and we're not exercising our power. Simple as that. We are not exercising our power, and we're leaving it up to someone else to do it. And guess what? The corporations are doing it. So don't complain that things are not the way you want if you're not going to be involved, if you don't want to spend an hour or two to go and vote. I mean,
right.
There were great candidates who wanted change, who saw problems, who had solutions, and simply people did not turn out to vote for them.
Yeah,
we can't have change unless we have different representatives that are in there.
We also need to vote, and we need to kind of stay involved and not just saying, okay, well, we vote every 2 or 4 years and that's enough. You know, we need to be tracking what's happening, like this issue with the FCC commissioner is being made up of the wireless executives, and the FDA is made up of this Monsanto executive setting the rules on food safety. You know, this is just not acceptable, and people need to be screaming from the rooftops that it's not acceptable and pressuring members of Congress, their representatives, to make changes there and who's representing us and who's in charge of our government agencies.
Exactly, and we need to do everything we can, but the next thing is we need to run for office. If you can't, now listen, I was disappointed by the response of public officials on this issue. They were ignoring it and not wanting to deal with it. That's their MO. So the way to influence policy decision makers is to become policy decision makers. So I call out to your audience, run for school board, run for city council, run for a House of Representatives, run for the Senate, run and get out there, at least increase the debate on this issue, and become the policymakers. Like they say, become the change you want to see. Become the change. Marianne Williamson stood up. So did 18 other candidates. Well, two of them. Say 15 of those candidates had never run before, and they were stepping up. I want your audience to step up and get involved and run for office. Have the confidence in your good intentions. Stick to your good intentions. And let's change government. Let's organize, because, frankly, good ideas are not enough. Understanding the research, not enough. I've realized that. You have to organize, and you have to act from a position of power. And one of the ways is to organize the vote, because politicians listen to you if you vote. I got to tell you, when you talk to politicians, they ask you, are you in my area, first thing. Second thing is they ask, do you vote? Because if you're not in their area and you don't vote, they don't care what you have to say.
Right.
So people need to at least vote and show that they control lots of votes. Because
right. People
want to win.
Yep,
and they want to get reelected. And the corporations have taken the most advantage of this.
Right, absolutely agree. We want to get more people voting, more people speaking up to the people who are in there about what's going on, and we need more people running. So that means you, listener, if you're listening to this, think about your own pattern here, your own role, and how the corporations have become so influential and actually dominating our government, and you can help make a difference in it. And meanwhile, what about, you know, what can we do? What would be like the three most important things an individual can do to minimize our exposure to this radiation?
Okay, before I get to that, I really want to talk about politically what more they could do. You have to understand,
okay,
San Francisco passed the Cell Phone Right to Know Bill. And I wanted to reintroduce, as a representative, a Cell Phone Right to Know Bill that had already been introduced, reintroduce it, that would, you know, warn people, that would increase funding for independent studies rather than wireless ones, and that would demand that real safety standards be developed. But San Francisco had a Cell Phone Right to Know Bill. The wireless industry tied it up in court for 2 years, long enough that they could fund the campaigns of other candidates who could get elected and eventually overruled and got rid of that law. Maine came out 2 months ago. The House passed a bill to warn people about cell phone health effects. The Senate passed it. The wireless industry came in with their lobbyists and their big checks, and they kept that bill from being enacted. Usually only a ceremonial process once the two houses have passed something. But they were able to influence them with their resources, unlimited resources, and stop that from being enacted. People need to understand that they are actively trying to keep people from being warned. The wireless industry needs to be held responsible. I believe this is corporate murder and nothing less. I believe this is a slow genocide that's going on. I don't think the word Holocaust is too strong. Not when I've talked to people like you who have had brain tumors and almost died. What's that like going through that process? What's it like for the families who have lost people unnecessarily? What's it like for people who have been struck down in the prime of their lives? I mean, economically, it's not even a good idea because we have our young workforce in the prime of their lives being struck down with very serious illnesses. Okay, what can we do to protect ourselves? The first thing you can do personally is if you use AT&T and T-Mobile, you can switch to Verizon and Sprint. Because T-Mobile and AT&T use an old system called GSM, and why it's important is it emits much more microwave energy at first when you pick it up, and then it goes down to the lowest level. The new system, CDMA, that Verizon and Sprint use goes to the lowest level of microwave radiation exposure and stays there. It's more efficient. Now, AT&T and T-Mobile don't want to switch over because it means switching their whole system, but people need to understand that the studies coming out of Europe showing health effects are using the GSM system. And so there's real concern about health effects. And these new U-verse homes may be the new sick-verse homes in a couple of years, and people need to be warned. Second thing is use a wired headset. Keep that phone away from your head and away from your chest. Women need to understand that when you use a phone up to your head, you're microwaving your head, and the transmissions are going in every direction, and you're also microwaving your breasts. And they're very absorbent. They're mostly water and fat, and just like a microwave oven, these microwaves agitate water and fat. So it's no surprise we're seeing an increase in breast cancer with women.
So when you say use a wired headset, is it those earbuds, are those okay to use?
That's fine. Anything that keeps the phone away from your body, but don't just hold it by your chest because that kind of defeats the purpose. If you're wondering why people have all these stomach and food allergies now, our stomach does not like being microwaved. But when you microwave it, it becomes very sensitive. That's why you got all these gluten, all kinds of strange allergies and sensitivities. But if you understood wireless health effects, it would make perfect sense. What else can you do? The studies that are showing brain tumors from cell phones also include portable phones at home. So don't use a portable phone at home. Use a wired landline phone instead. Your wireless router at home, you can call up your provider in about 3 minutes. You can turn off the wireless in your router, plug a wired cord in the back of your router, run it to your computer, turn the wireless off in your computer because that's a transmitter too, and you've eliminated the wireless router transmissions and the laptop or computer transmissions, and you've kind of reduced that up-close transmissions. Distance matters. The farther away, the better, and the less duration, the better. It's like any other form of radiation.
So when you say turn off the wireless router on your computer, doesn't that mean then you wouldn't be able to get Internet service?
No, you just turn off the wireless. There's still a wired connection. You can connect to the back of your router into the computer. it's really not a problem. And these are things you can do for less than $50 in less than half an hour, and people could reduce their exposure quite a bit. Do not sleep with a cell phone next to your head because it pings to the tower about every 30 seconds. That's the problem with carrying phones on you close to the body, because it's transmitting to the tower about every 30 seconds, and when it does, you get a microwave burst. And we're seeing women who carry them in their bras getting tumors in the shape of cell phones, and you can see the tumors right where their transmitters were, and very, very young girls, because young women's breasts are the most absorbent. And if people email me, kevinmodis2014@gmail.com, I can also send you a news report where the doctors are discussing that exactly what they're seeing out there is young girls getting tumors in their breasts. So what else can you do to protect yourself? iPads are a no-no because they can really only be used wirelessly. Use a wired laptop instead. It does more. And for the wireless in the schools, the solution is easy, a wired solution. They could use wired connections to these iPads, but instead of using iPads, they could use real computers and teach real computing skills with real computer programs. And a matter of fact, LA Unified paid $900 per iPad. For $900, they could have had a very nice laptop for each child, and they could have connected it wired and eliminated the wireless issue and the radio frequency exposure issue completely, but they chose not to, even though they had a resolution themselves in 2009 that articulated the health effects associated with wireless. As they argued to keep cell towers at least 200 feet from their schools, they've now reversed their position and put these wireless transmitters now close up and in front of our children.
So, Kevin, what got you started kind of looking at this? This is like a serious health issue, public health hazard. Was it you working with the children in the schools, or kind of what got your attention on this whole issue?
Well, when I was a medical social worker, I was seeing attorneys coming in, salesmen coming in, and with brain tumors. They're very young, healthy guys other than having tumors, and the doctors were asking about their cell phone use. So that's the first thing that keyed me. Then at work, when I had those three people develop brain tumors, and then I was already sensitive to the issue, then I started doing the research. I'm like, this is ridiculous, these young people getting tumors. What's going on? And because I kind of expected it to be wireless devices, I knew where to look, and sure enough, I found tons of research, and that's what your audience will find. Let me say some of those websites again so people have them.
Mm-hmm.
It's saferemr.com.
Saferemr.com.
Mm-hmm. Citizensforsafetechnology.org. California Brain Tumor Association. Safeschool.ca. StopSmartMeters.org, BioInitiative.org, Environmental Health Trust, JustProveIt.net, which actually breaks down the thousands of studies by parts of the body and different illnesses. So that's an interesting website. But what people should get from this is there is a lot of people concerned. Many of these people who started their organizations have gotten sick themselves. I was on a radio show recently, and both of the hosts are electrosensitive.
Hmm.
So this is really happening, regardless of the denials of of the wireless industry. What really disturbs me right now is to see cell phones in movies now being the hero of this day. If they didn't make that call, they wouldn't have been saved. I'm disturbed by TV shows where the girl is spending all the time talking to the phone, and that's the relationship. But I'm also not surprised by movies like Fault in Our Stars, where the girl has cancer and she's trying to have a relationship while having cancer, because the two are related.
Well, Kevin, this is really important information, and I'm afraid we're out of time here, but I really appreciate you coming on the show, and thank you so much for all your important work.
Thank you for having me, Eleanor, and you're truly a hero getting this information out.
Thank you so much. In case you've missed any of these programs, they're available in the archives. If you want to learn more about Breakthrough Solutions, go to thebreakthroughway.com. If you like this program, please go to iTunes and like it there. Our theme song is Let's Give Them Something to Talk About, sung by Bonnie Raitt. Next week, my co-host Charlene Spretnik will be here with her guest. I'll be back 2 weeks from today. Thanks for joining us. This is Eleanor Lacaine with All Together Now. Now that we know.